Amen. I hope you enjoy the worship. Thank you so much, the worship team, for that awesome singing and encouragement. And if you're online, I hope you enjoyed that as well from home. This is our first service in 2 years to start at 10 o'clock to worship together. Welcome if it's your first time to Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. I got to tell you that I know COVID is still around there, but it's going down. Amen. And I know that most people are a bit wary about volunteering to help with the young children. Here's the testing of that. The families are healthy. So when they bring the kids, they're healthy. If the kids are not healthy, they will not bring them. So I say that so that you can volunteer knowing that when the families are healthy, the kids are healthy. They go to school, they come back, they're healthy. That's how we can volunteer. So please don't be afraid of our children. Spend time with them. They're going to school, they're coming back healthy, their families are healthy, and God's name will be glorified. Amen. Amen. I have a letter that I want to read. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, thank you for your support and prayers that you have shown. I am grateful for your kindness and love. Although I am deeply saddened for the loss of my dear, but I am thankful to have you on my side. I am eternally grateful for you. Love much, Julia Anglin and the boys." Also, please help us celebrate his birthday is Monday, March 7th, tomorrow, by lighting up a candle wherever you are, wishing him a happy birthday. Thank you, the Anglins. Amen. Please do that. It would be great so that we can all walk together and celebrate him. He was with us here for a long time. Amen. On Wednesday, the question was asked, how many are we as a membership of the church? The answer is we are 210. That is what we've come to after a count, head count, that I did the last few weeks with the brothers. So that's where we are as a membership of the congregation. Different people have moved away and others have moved in. I think God wants been pruning us so that we can do what we need to do in his name. Amen? All right. With that, let's get the PowerPoint going. There we are. Okay. Hearing God. This message this morning, really I wanted to talk to us, all of us, but I want to hone in to you as a Christian who's been around for a long time. Everyone else, please hear God, but I want to talk to the Christian that's been going to church for a long time, and sometimes it's not hearing God. It's important that we all hear God, everyone. And not in a superstitious way. Try to demystify that aspect of it. That we read our Bible, we hear God as he speaks to us through Scripture, we pray, and there's conversation that happens at that time. So let's talk about this here today. Hearing God. It is important because how do you walk with God if you don't hear him? At some point, you can reduce your worship to rituals, which is a Sunday morning, Wednesday, Zoom time, and choir time that we do in the mornings, and who knows what happens after the choir time. You know what I mean? You may be a Christian for that 1 hour you're reading the Bible, but after that, by midday, what's going on? So we want to talk about all that and see how we can really be walking with God, hearing God through our lives. Proverbs 29:18, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. I was looking up this scripture because in the King James Version, it talks about lack of vision. But as you come into the newer translations and after they looked at that word, it's really not vision, it's being guided by God. That it's the idea of you becoming, embracing Christ so that God is guiding you. And that's when you are now able to stay the course of Christianity, in a very vivid, personal way. And if you're not being guided by Scripture, you'll find that even though you know God, you can run wild. Even though Jesus is Lord, you still do stuff that is not of Christ willy-nilly, and you do it because you're just not hearing God. And so here he says clearly that you got to accept guidance. Key word, accept. It's a choice we make that I'm going to accept the guidance of God on a daily basis. Let us be clear, and I've said this before, you can never put God on cruise control. Because life is changing every day. Every day you're going through something. Something is happening to you today that never happened yesterday. So you're constantly wanting, if you want to have a relationship with God, constantly hearing a relationship with God. It's like me putting my marriage on a cruise control relationship. That never works. My wife cannot, I cannot put her on a cruise control. This is just the way we do stuff. We have to have a conversation every day on a different level. Even your workspaces cannot be put on a cruise control, because there's always something that comes up that you must engage. Be conscious, be there, know what's going on. That way, then you're able to hear God. The idea of hearing God is that God is a personal friend, a relationship that you truly engage. It's not just something you do on the side. Something you do to say, I am a Christian. It's not a ritual. It's a relationship with God. Does that make sense? Yet, it's, if you really think about it, we're very ritualistic about God. We pray, we do all these things, but we're never having a relationship that is meaningful, transformative, and changes who we are. So let's go there. All right, so what is going on? Let's talk about this idea of hearing God. What's going on? Luke 15. I'm going to focus on the son that stayed home with the father. Whenever we read this scripture, we focus on the prodigal son, the guy that left and did all that stuff. I will mention him a little bit here and there, but the focus is this son that stayed home. As in this story, the father is God. The son is us, the one that stays home. The guy that goes away is the guy that doesn't care a little bit about God. So let's talk about that. Luke 15, 25 to 26. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field when he came near the house. He heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What is going on?" If this is the son of God, a disciple of God, close to his father, God, how is it that he doesn't know what's going on? He cannot perceive. How is it that he cannot perceive God's will? How is it that he cannot perceive what God was doing on that particular moment? And he had to call a servant and say, "Wait a minute, what is going on?" Is it possible that you're not perceiving what God is doing in your life? And so you keep wondering, what's wrong with my life? What's wrong with me? Why am I going through this? Why is life challenging? And you're not perceiving that God is pruning, God is training, God is teaching, and you're constantly trying to fit God in a box, your personal box, mental box, than experiencing and accepting the guidance of God. So he comes, the son that stayed home with the father, and his brother left and went and just destroyed everything. Consumed everything. The Bible says that he came to his senses and said, "I'm going back to my father," the one that had left, his brother. So his brother has much more sense of, God loves me even though I've blown it up. God still loves me. I'm going back there for a connection and he'll accept me. And the Bible says that God runs out and hugs the brother. And that is why this party is happening, that he has come back home. And the one that stayed home is the Christian. He stayed home. He stayed with his father. But cannot perceive what God is doing in life and what's going on in his own life. So he's not even perceiving, says, what's going on? What's going on happens when you're not perceiving what God is doing in your life. But that happens because for the most part, we read our Bible and then we had God in the morning, but we never had a walk with God the whole day. We don't have a communion. We have a ritual called quiet time. We don't read the Bible and think, what does that mean for me today? If you miss the class of Perry, he says he took like 5 scriptures for the day. We recorded because we had live issues, but next week we'll be on time. You want to go listen to that. There's a lot there that can help you to have a communion with God the whole day, not just in the morning. We pray, and many of us pray, and I've said this, we tend to pray from a religious standpoint, which is big words, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah. But we don't really say what's going on here. So we never have a communication with God because it's like when my wife asks me, how are you doing? And I am saying, I'm okay, but she can see I'm not okay. I'm hating. You cannot do such a relationship with God either. You've got to get much more honest about these conversations. Amen? It's not a pretense place. It's a relationship place. So what's going on, he's not perceiving because he's caught up in rituals. He was in the field doing work for God. You can be doing a lot for God but never have a communion with God. You can do a lot around God but never have a relationship with God that is transformative, that calms you, gives you joy, peace, patience, kindness, that gives you hope, love. And when you don't experience that, you tend to turn on things outside. You blame things outside. Well, the real issue is the soul is not perceiving what's going on with God. It's dry. There's no connection. So that's what happens. He's asking that question. So we have to stop asking what's going on and start saying, how can I connect to God? Next. Self-righteousness is deceptive. What does it do? Luke 15:27-18. Your brother has come. So the servant is explaining. He replied, and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. So the father is having a great time because his son took everything, went and destroyed all the wealth and came back to his senses and coming back to God. In a human mindset, how do we think? He needs to be punished. He needs to be beaten down. He needs to be shown the door, put in the doghouse, and walk back all the money he's squandered. We're punitive because in our way of thinking, we don't understand forgiveness. Forgiveness is undeserved to us. It's given to us because God is sovereign, that he no longer counts those sins against you. We don't understand that. We're very punitive, judgmental, self-righteous. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. God is pleading with us this morning to stop being judgmental, being difficult with each other, whether it's marriage, whether it's life, whether it's just stop being controlling, stop being critical, being upset. This is life. Look to God for answers. Don't look to yourself. Look to God for answers. But this happens because we become self-righteous. I would never do that. Who does that? When we talk like that, we can't even reach out to the world. Because we're judging the world. Who this world is, this there, this way. We judge each other. And we judge each other based on ourselves, not based on God. That is why I said, if you're not hearing God, you're most likely going to become self-righteous. Self-righteous is deceptive. Because you're the standard. You don't even see yourself properly. When is the last time you saw your back? Unless you got all these mirrors going, doing this and all that stuff. I have to shave hair all the time so I know how that plays. And you got to shave the back of the head. You're like, there we go. Sometimes you're missing spaces anyway. It is self-righteousness, the idea that I'm good enough. The idea that I'm better than. The idea that I'm better than you. That's self-righteousness. It's rooted in pride of, I know God, you don't know God. How can we help the world when we are like that? How can we help each other when, if you're trying to help someone to know God and you're proud, how will they hear you? How can we talk to each other and from a premise of pride? You don't do things well. Why would I even listen to you? That doesn't work well. It gets in the way. He was self-righteous. He was angry. The Bible says that. And some of us get angry willy-nilly and we say it's righteous anger. The only time Jesus got angry was because people were messing around with God, not with him. We get angry because things didn't go away. Self-righteousness does that. It's deceptive. The reason he was angry is because he had stayed home. He was a good boy, a good Christian, and he was not being rewarded. Let's have a conversation around that. Some of us think because I've obeyed God, I should never go through a challenging time. Or, let's go there. What's the point of being a Christian? And I'm going through all this stuff. I think you misunderstood your relationship with God. God is not to be manipulated by saying, I'm a good person, so help me. It's a relationship with God. And because you're with God, you perceive what he's doing in your life. He's pruning, you accept that. You're patient, you're persevering, and you're growing as you do all that. The problem of saying, I've done all these, what's the point, makes you regret and resentful. Then why are you here for God or were you here for yourself? That's the test of sincerity. Why were you here then? For God or for yourself? So a lot of Christians have missed that aspect of, I have a walk with God despite what I'm going through, and I am so joyful because it's, we say, but I've done all this. Why haven't you taken care of me, God? You know, in my Christian walk, and it's not a long one, became a disciple in 1991. There are more mature people here in their walk with God. Became Christians 70-something. I think Alan is 70-something or 60-something. I don't know. Well, I'll leave it at that. But the point is, I've come to realize that when I think that because I've done all these things, God owes me something, I become entitled. And yet the scripture says, be thankful always. Pray continually. Problems are not fun. But if you focus on God, you grow like nobody's business. You see the hand of God in your troubles, and it's amazing. COVID has been good for me because it's forced me to focus on God like never before. To check why I do what I do. To not just run around and say, I feel good because I met 10 people. But I feel good because I heard from God today. That I have a conversation with God that is helping me move forward. What are the issues you're not going to wrestle down with God like Jacob did? He wrestled the whole night in prayer, and then eventually God showed him what to do. Sometimes I've had wrestles where I'm not sleeping, and I wake up, I'm like, oh, I was just afraid. It's clear. There are days I wake up at 4. I woke up at 4, and for some reason, this message was on my heart. I say, there we go, let's go preach it. And I've been reading the scripture forever. Actually, for months, finally I said, let's just go share what I'm seeing in this business. So here we are. Are you self-righteous? It's deceptive. Moving on. You can't keep scores with God. Let's face it. We like to keep scores, right? The last time I did this, last time you did this for me. We keep scores a lot. Let's see. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. That's the point. Being around God and not even figuring out the goat belongs to you. I've been slaving for you. He says here. Then he says, but when this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Look at how he talks about his brother. So, all these years have been slaving for you. You know, you can feel like that about life. Especially if you look around for your friends. You can look at your friend and you say, you know, I went to school with him, he's a millionaire. How come I've been a Christian? I am just middle class. How is that working? I thought you came in for God, not for the blessings. And there's another guy that looks at you and says, how come they have such a good life? It's that issue of going to God. But you don't know that because you're looking outside saying you're comparing. I'm not okay. This is what's going on here. He's comparing with his brother. And now he's upset with God that he's celebrating that this came back. Sometimes, because we don't understand what God is doing, we don't even embrace people that are trying to come to God. People visit the church, we don't even take time to talk to them a little bit and say, hey, how are you? My name is so-and-so. Welcome. And you don't tell them stories about yourself. So he was keeping scores with his brother. Is it possible that they're keeping scores with God? I mean, think about it. You're breathing. God has enabled that. Think about it. You went to sleep and you woke up. God didn't keep a score of that. Think about it. All the times your mind has gone different ways. God doesn't keep a score of that and say you don't need oxygen and all that stuff. Think about it. The idea that even with all the issues you go through, God still loves you. But we keep scores. We have a way of keeping scores with God. We like to say the year has been rough. I say, what do you mean the year has been rough? On what scale? On one thing that you're focused on. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your house. But what about the rest of your life? Maybe it's your money. What about the rest of your life? You see how those scores are very, very self-centered. There's a lot more about your life that you don't look at. You just focus on what's not working. The nature of human beings is that we tend to look at what's not working. But there's a lot that is working. But that one thing can get you stressed out. You just stressed out for one thing. I'm like, life is too short to focus on one thing. Focus on the big picture of God. And let him give you hope as you go through that. He was so focused on these things, he was keeping scores with God. Now he begins to denigrate his brother. He spends his money, prostitutes and all that. Is it possible that you denigrate people in your mind and when you see them? Who do they think they are? So you got to keep your heart pure by looking to God and letting God help you as you walk through these lives. Because your life, because that's how then you develop a relationship with God. Here, brothers and sisters, and I really want to talk about this, we've got to stop keeping scores with God. This is not basketball we're playing. It's not NFL we're playing. It's not NASCAR. It's not whatever game you like. You folks play games on the internet. There's a different way of scoring over there. It's not those you're not giving. You don't have to win. This is, you win by trusting God. That's how you win this one. You don't win by things coming your way all the time. You win by trusting God. You know, it's funny sometimes. I've prayed to God and said, God, can you do this for me today? And then he does it in 10 years. You know what I mean? Then I've prayed sometimes, God, I'm not sure I want to do that. Can you do that in 10 years? And he does it yesterday. Now we're confused. Because we lost control, right? That's the essence of our relationship with God. You don't have control. But we want control. At every point, we're looking for control. The illusion of it. And God says, trust me. Trust me. Come my way. I'll guide you. Accept my guidance. For lack of a guidance, people perish. That's the scripture we started with. We perish slowly. We perish because we are angry. We perish because we are no longer holding on the word of God. We perish because slowly but surely we're infected with the world philosophy. We perish because we go online and that's what controls our way of thinking. We perish because we compare with our neighbors. We feel very upset about life. But we will not let God help us. He was keeping scores. Upset. Look at how God is dealing with this. He's pleading with him. You're celebrating this son. Let's see what happens. Learn to be with God. Luke 15:31. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Sit with that for a moment. That is, God is saying that to you today. You're always with me and everything I have is yours. Just sit with that for a moment. Maybe you have been wandering around, but today God is saying to you, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. So why is it that Christians have such a scarcity mentality and fearful of what God can do? We're always worried of what we'll not have instead of having hope of what God will give us. We've never understood what it means to be with God. We're not with God. We're around God. We're about God, but never with Him. We're sideways God, forward, under, never with God. Communing with God. Just sitting with God. One of the things I do for myself is I sit and listen to music. Normally it's jazz, but sometimes I wander around. And these certain songs, there's one song that is a prayer. I don't know what he prays about. It's just reading a prayer. I don't understand the language, but I tell you he prays. It calms me down like, how is that? And I say to myself, if I can be with him in the song like that, why can I not be with God like that? To be with God is to connect to his heart and how he speaks to you about it. Let me see. How many of us have had a love letter? Okay, but most people. A love letter that is written to you by hand is very different from a text or an emoji. Okay? Because you read the book, you read the letter, and you kind of feel what was being said to you. And oh my goodness, it melts your heart. You feel like you're on cloud nine, literally. That's what my wife would write me letters. They would do that to me. But another way of saying what I'm saying is how you connect to songs, how you connect to movies. Some of us will watch a movie and cry. You're with the movie. You connect what it's talking about. You'll be crying and the movie is just going. And like, why am I crying? Because deep down you're with it. I implore you to read the Bible like that. Read the Bible like that. He's with me. It's a music. It is a movie that I love so much that I soak it up. What is the rush? There's no rush. If you're not reading it like that, don't get overwhelmed. Take your time to learn the art. Take your time to read the scripture and sit with it, meditate, and let it walk on your heart, your emotion. Don't do intellectual reading. Do internalizing. Internalize those feelings and see what happens. It's a bit hot in here, but I'm about to finish, so hang with me. Celebrate repentance. That's our final point. Celebrate repentance and salvation. So here we see in Luke 15:32, but here to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. That is the story the father tells the son. You are all upset about me doing all this party and celebrating. And he says, you know what? This guy was actually dead, figuratively, but he's alive. He's back. Let us celebrate. This was a difficult situation. A son that had used up all the wealth, but the way he's received is love, celebration. So I want to ask you, how do you treat people that are trying to study the Bible? Do you make it very hard for them to know God? Or do you celebrate that they're even interested? Do you put them through hoops and whatever? Or do you say, the Bible calls you, the cross is a love of God reaching out to you. And repentance is, this is what I need to do. And that if you understand the baptism, it's just you're pledging a clear conscience, I'm ready to be right with God. It's not a ritual. When we reduce Christianity to a ritual, it doesn't connect to young folks. It may make sense to older folk like me, medium or middle-aged folk like me, but young folks don't get that. They're like, what is this thing going to church, singing a hymn and all that? We got to tell the truth and the story of what it does for us. But it's not just telling it. We've got to experience it and demonstrate it in our lives. The joy it gives you when you're in the places, your workspaces, that's when people say there's a difference, there's Christ in this. Celebrate repentance and salvation. They were happy that the person was trying to come to God. I'm excited whenever I'm studying the Bible with people because I see the transformation right there. It's not a job for me. It is an opportunity to equip another soul to come to Christ. So I look forward to those opportunities to sit down with people and discuss the Word of God. And I hope you can do that this year as we plan to help the family groups to be fruitful. Amen? Amen. This is not the time to be afraid about, I don't know, the last time I did it. Just get open with Scripture and get on with it. But here too, we've got to learn, you cannot celebrate if you're not connecting to someone. I think that sometimes we talk about the Bible as just, hey, here's some information you need. We've got to connect with a person. And church, can I say something to us? We've got to come out of our common cliques. We talk to the same people all the time. Get out of your cliques and talk to someone else. Talk to the people that are visiting. Talk to the young people in the congregation. And yeah, don't always just ask them about schools. Get interested beyond school. Talk about life. Talk about their sports and other things they're doing, okay? Get to know these young folks and let them come to your life as well and have conversations with them. You cannot help celebrate people if you don't know them. Does that make sense? But you cannot know people from a distance. They need to come to your house. Yeah, don't worry about what you eat in your house. Give them pizza if that's what you eat in your house. Give them water if that's what you eat in your drink in your house. Don't worry about that. Oh, it's not so clean. Well, vacuum it a little bit, but have them sit somewhere. Amen? Don't worry about too much about that stuff. It's time to repent. Oh, man, you know, how will they think about me? Well, I don't know what they'll think. They may say, I can help you to clean the place. Celebration is not about how does it look like. Amen? We can meet in a restaurant. And yes, COVID is an issue. I get that. But we go places still. So let's not use it when it comes to church issues. Yeah, we go to restaurants still. We go to school. These young folks go to school and they're here right now. Well, we come to church. No, I'm not sure about that. Well, I'll let you figure that out. But I'm just telling you, we go places. We go places. You really can trust God. Now, be wise in whatever you do. Don't just show up if your health doesn't allow you to do that. But celebrating someone requires a connection. When is the last time you had someone in your house just to talk? To have a meal? To converse about Ukraine and other things that are going on? Life. Let's not be afraid to be known. Our struggles, our fights. It's okay. It's good to go through all that. Brothers and sisters, we are the Christian that stayed home with the Father. Do we hear him, though? That is the question we must answer. God bless you. Amen.